Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Pei Zion. We are on the very bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis. We are two lines towards the bottom of the Amud Itmar. Gemara is going to start with a question, but before we start with the Gemara's question, a recap. Yesterday we had a Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah talked about the Mizbeach being Mekadesh, as has been the topic of this parak since the beginning of the ninth parak of Zvachim. The Mizbeach has this ability, this power to protect and to insulate anything that's on the top of it, so that even if something is disqualified, and this covers a lot of different psulim, a lot of different disqualifications. Even if something is disqualified and it goes on the top of the Mizbeach, it remains on the top of the Mizbeach. When the Mishnah, we talked about the item being on the top of the Mizbeach, being burned on the top of the Mizbeach, and if as a result of the heat of the Mizbeach, it flies off the Mizbeach and comes down again, so do I need to put it back up, and do I need to have it continue burning? The Mishnah taught us yesterday on Pei Vav Amud Aleph that it depends whether it flew off before or after midnight. If you look back at the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, so the Mishnah says, Yevarin shepakum me'al gabei Mizbeach kodem chatzos, Yachzer. So if it flies off before Chatzos, so then you bring it back up again. Umo'alam behem, and it's subject to Me'ila. La'acher Chatzos, but if it flies off after Chatzos, lo yachzer ve'in mo'alam behem, so then you don't have to return it, and it's not subject to Me'ila. Now, in terms of the issue of Me'ila, so again, let's remind each other, what do we know? That when we have a carbon, and the carbon is in process, it's in the process of being presented to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we know that the carbon is subject to Me'ila. But in other words, what parts of the carbon? So we keep saying this again and again. It's one of the basic rules regarding Me'ila and a carbon. It has to be Kachi Hashem. In other words, it has to be a carbon that's destined to the top of the Mizbeach. So while it's being burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, it's subject to Me'ila. Acher shenasa mitzvah. So, but after the mitzvah has been completed, it's no longer subject to Me'ila. Effectively, what the Mishnah is telling us is when is the mitzvah completed? Chatzos. That at midnight, there's no longer a mitzvah to burn it because it's now considered burnt. So the Mishnah here told us about the magical moment of midnight, where before midnight, mitzvah is not yet completed. After midnight, mitzvah is completed. Where do we get this idea that Chatzos is like the marker in the evening in terms of when the mitzvah is concluded? So that was the end of yesterday's daf. The Gemara yesterday quoted a drasha, although we learned yesterday, it's not a hard science, it's not a hard drasha. In other words, it's not an absolute that Chatzos becomes the moment of where the mitzvah is done, where the mitzvah is not done. Rashi yesterday, after the Gemara concluded, Rashi pointed out yesterday that it's a more flexible time. It really depends on the circumstances. Sometimes the Trumas Hadeshin, which was the first activity done in the morning, kind of like bridges the evening to the morning. Yesterday's Avoda to today's Avoda. Sometimes the Trumas Hadeshin was done at dawn or pre-dawn, and sometimes Trumas Hadeshin was done at midnight. Sometimes Trumas Hadeshin was pushed up even earlier on Yontif, where we needed to clear out the Azara so that the Jewish people could fill up the Azara. But in any event, though, however, we learned yesterday that despite the fact that it's not a hard time, it's kind of more of a soft time, but still, Chatzos is a moment. Chatzos is a moment where if it burns on the top of the Mizbeach before, and it flies off before Chatzos, it is subject to Me'ila. If it flies off after Chatzos, it's no longer subject to Me'ila. I kind of takes us to what we learned in yesterday's daf. Itmar, with that stated now, the Gemara is going to have kind of like a follow-up question to this. Pirshu Kodem Chatzos, let's say the limb that we're burning on the top of the Mizbeach flies off before Chatzos, and then I put it back up on the Mizbech after Chatzos. So it didn't experience Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach. So is that significant or is that not significant? The way the Gemara first presents it to us, Machlokes Amaraim, Rabba Amar Chatzos Sheni Ochlasan. So Rabba says, so it needs Chatzos. So when's the Chatzos going to be? Tomorrow night. In other words, according to Rabba, the way we're presenting it right now, we need a midnight of for this limb to have been concluded, to have been gone through the process of nasa mitzvaso. So by virtue of the fact that it missed midnight tonight, meaning it flew off the Mizbeach before Chatzos, and it was only placed up after Chatzos, so therefore it didn't experience Chatzos, so tomorrow night it's going to have to experience Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach. And so the equal, now the equal, by the way, two words very similar, but not the same. In other words, ochel means to consume, equal means to be burnt, ne'ekal, with an ayin. So the ikol, its consumption, is going to have to be tomorrow night, meaning midnight tomorrow night. Rav Chista amar amar shachar ochlasan. And Rav Chista says, no, we don't have to wait till tomorrow night. We don't have to wait till another midnight. In other words, we do have another significant time coming up, and that is amar shachar, dawn. dawn's going to be a significant moment. So in other words, if it flies off the Mizbech before Chatzos and I put it up right after Chatzos, so it's true it missed midnight, but you know what? Dawn's going to become a new significant time. Why is dawn significant? The Gemara is going to go on to explain. Rav Chista Amar Amuda Shachar Chlasan Amar Be Rav My Time of the Rav Chista. So the Gemara goes on to explain. I'll tell you what's behind Rav Chista. Umachat Soshein Oselina Ose Ikol. Because let's consider what Chatzos does and what Chatzos does not do. Does Chatzos create Lina? So the answer, of course, is no. Meaning Lina regarding, now remember, when we talk about Lina, we're talking about the parts of the carbon that are going up onto the Mizbeach. Noser is a term that we use to describe the parts of the Mizbeach, the parts of the carbon that we are going to eat. So that's the term we use to describe Noser. Lina is a term that deals with the parts of the carbon that are going on the top of the Mizbeach. Now, as far as the parts of the carbon that are going on top of the Mizbeach, let's break it up into two categories. Blood and limbs. And when I say limbs over here, we could also be talking about Imurim as well. But but when it comes to carbonola, it's limbs because the entire animal is going up onto the Mizbech. Vis-a-vis the blood, when is it now disqualified through Lina? And the answer is Shkias Achama. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. Once the sun sets, that's it. The blood can no longer be sprinkled on the Mizbech. At that point in time, expired. Time expired. Vis-a-vis the limbs and the Imurim, when does Lina occur? You have the entirety of the night to burn the limb and the Imurim of an animal on the top of the Mizbeach. So at midnight, is there Lina that occurs? The answer is no. In other words, at midnight, you still have the full second half of the night to burn the limbs on the top of the Mizbeach. Umachatzos, and now let's hear the Gemara's argument. Umachatzos sheinosa Lina, now at Chatzos, Lina does not occur. Ose ikul, but meanwhile, for the parts of the carbon that are being burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, so midnight's significant, like we learned in yesterday's daf. Meaning as long as it's bone dry, right? That's the Gemara we saw yesterday. As long as it's bone dry burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, it doesn't have to be reduced to ashes. But as long as it's bone dry, it's considered ne'ekal, and at that point in time, nasa mitzvah, so mitzvah's been concluded. And that's at midnight. Amud HaShachar shows Elina. So now you get to Amud HaShachar. What happens to any Imurim that's not burnt on the Mizbeach? So now it is disqualified through Lina. Now that is expired. So you see that Amud HaShachar is there to create Lina. So Eino Din Shiyasa Ikul. So in other words, Amud HaShachar can also create Ikul as well. So if it can create an expiration of Lina for those parts of the carbon that are not on the Mizbeach, so for those parts that are on the Mizbeach and are rendered bone dry, so then for sure, Amud HaShachar is going to be significant. So this is the argument made on behalf of Rav Chisda. Even if it didn't experience midnight on the top of the Mizbeach, but as long as it experienced Amud HaShachar is significant enough to create Lina, it's certainly going to be significant enough to be considered Nekal al Gabe HaMizbeach. So the Gemara now offers a Machlokus between Rav and Rav Chisda, but the Gemara seems to favor or at least argue very strongly on behalf of Rav Chisda, that even if the limb missed Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach, Amud HaShachar is still a significant moment. Pirshu kodem Chatzos v'yichzirin la'achar Amud HaShachar. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, good. So now that we've established that there are now two significant times on the top of the Mizbeach, both midnight and Amud HaShachar, wonders the Gemara, what if we miss both of those significant times? So that means to say that we threw the limb on the top of the Mizbeach before Chatzos. For whatever reason, it flew off before Chatzos. It misses Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach, and no one there was there to put it up after Chatzos. It also missed Amud HaShachar as well. So now it missed both Chatzos and Amud HaShachar. So Rabbi Amar Chatzos Sheni Ochlasam. So Rabbi says, okay, no problem. So in other words, what we'll do now is we'll take the limb, we'll put it back up on the top of the Mizbeach, and as far as Ikul is concerned, as far as the mitzvah of burning on the top of the Mizbeach, so tomorrow midnight, we get it. We'll catch it again. And Rav Chisda Amar Ein Bam Ikul La'olam. Rav Chisda's position over here really interesting. No Ikul. Meaning, once you missed both of those significant times, both midnight and dawn, so at that point in time, now you missed it. In other words, you missed your opportunities to do the mitzvah of burning the limbs on the top of the Mizbeach, and unrecoverable. There's no makeup opportunities.
So you want to burn it anyway.
Right. In other words, there's no chance for the mitzvah to be completed, and it's now going to be indefinitely subject to Me'ila. And again, but now that it's undergone, it's disqualified now through Lina. So now it's just going to simply be discarded. Burnt, but in other words, burnt not on the top of the Mizbeach. As long as Zrika is performed, so the owner gets it. In other words, now we're just talking about the mitzvah of burning the carbon. That's correct. So ein behem ikol al lamaskav la Rav Yosef aman lemalan dechatzos brosham mizbech mashvela ikol. Dilma kol hechad mishkachalu mashvela ikol. So the Gemara says, well, look, you know, this whole discussion was operating with a premise, and what Rav Yosef is now going to do is just basically challenge the entire premise of the whole discussion. Meaning, what are we saying? We're saying ikol is as the piece is getting burnt. Now we're assuming, what does it need to get burnt on the top of the mizbech? Which, quite frankly, is an understandable premise, meaning that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to take it and to burn it on the top of the mizbech. But in other words, but Rav Yosef says, but does a completion of the burning need to be occurring on the top of the mizbech? Maybe. As it is burning and it flies off, maybe even as it landed now on the floor of the Azara, perhaps, says Rav Yosef, the mitzvah of ikol can be counted even if it's not on the mizbech proper. So that means to say that it has gone through the significant time of chatzos. It is now bone dry. It's after midnight. Maybe, Rav Yosef says, we could view it as mi'ukal. Maybe we could view it as consumed, as burnt. So, Shachum Itam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael. And that is Hilchasa Rav Yosef. That Rav Yosef sounds correct. Now, I know the Gemara says Hilchasa, which means we paskin like Rav Yosef. But Tosfos says over here, let's not use the word paskin. We're talking about a vote in the Beis Hamikdash. We are discussing it post-Chorban by Sheni. The Gemara very often says Hilchasa L'Mashicha, meaning we don't want to, we're not paskining the halacha for the Zman HaMashiach. We're looking forward to the Zman HaMashiach. And b'mehera b'yameinu, but in other words, it's not something where we need to render a psak halacha. Tosfos over here says, and when the Gemara says the word Hilchasa, it just simply means perish yafa, meaning you're saying good. It sounds correct. So Hilchasa k'Rav Yosef, it sounds like Rav Yosef is correct. It Marnami, the Gemara cites as well, Amar Rebichia Barabba, Pirshu Karm Chatzos, V'yachzir Nechar Chatzos, Lo Nenne V'lo Mo'alen. That if it flew off the Mizbeach before Chatzos, and you put it up after Chatzos, so Lo Nenne V'lo Mo'alen. So let's focus right now on the word Lo Mo'alen. It's not subject to Me'ilah. Why is it not subject to Me'ilah? It's not subject to Me'ilah because Nasa Mitzvah, so the Mitzvah's been concluded. Aye, but it missed Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach. So again, this is now a support for Rav Yosef. In other words, ikul, the completion of the burning, doesn't necessarily have to be on the top of the Mizbech. Obviously, it has to start on the Mizbech, meaning the whole purpose is to burn it on the maracha, on the pyre, on the top of the Mizbech. But in terms of the completion, it doesn't necessarily have to be on the Mizbech proper. If it flies off and it is still smoldering and drying off the Mizbech, that's still going to be good enough. And this is certainly going to be a support for Rav Yosef, where it says, Lo Mo'alen, it's not subject to Me'ilah, even though it wasn't on the Mizbech proper at Chatzos. Now, there's two other words which I glossed over, which is Lo Nen, and you can't get Hana from it. Now, if it's not subject to Me'ilah, so what does it mean you can't get Hana from it? Meaning not subject to Me'ilah means there's no longer a Isser of misappropriation, meaning it doesn't belong to Mizbech anymore, and therefore it's not subject to Me'ilah. So why can't they get benefit from it? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes succinctly, and this expression of Lo Nenne V'lo Mo'alen, which we're going to hear again and again, and when we get to Masechta Me'ilah, that's going to be like a constant refrain. So generally speaking, what that means is that there is an Isser of Hana Midrabanan. In fact, that's exactly what Rashi writes over here. Rashi writes, V'lo Nenin Midrabanan. That that despite the fact that there's no longer an Isser of Me'ilah, but still, it was part of the carbon. It was burnt on the top of the Mizbech Midrabanan. Don't take it and use Hana for it. I mean,
Even if it's going to be discarded.
It's not going to be discarded, meaning the mitzvah's done already. In other words, the mitzvah's completed. But still, there's an Isser Midrabanan. There's a Tosos over here. Tosos says that in this context, the Isser Hana is an Isser Daraisa. See Tosfos for more discussion on that, but to be fair, in defense of Rashi, generally speaking, Lo Nenne V'lo Mo'alen means that there is no longer an Isser of Me'ilah in the Torah, and Lo Nenne is an Isser D'Rabbanan, meaning this is true to form as what the expression usually means. Okay.
So what do you do with it?
So, in other words, like Trumas Hadashin, meaning eventually what's going to end up happening, like all ashes. The ashes are going to be collected. So again, every morning, part of it is going to go on the east side of the ramp, but eventually what's going to end up happening is that with all that collection of ash, it's going to be removed and deposited in a place where they have reserved for all the ashes. So lo nen of lomala. V'chein tan de beber kapar persha kor mechatzos v'yachzun lachar chatzos yotze midei me'ila. And the Gemara has another memra of another amora that says exactly this: that once it flies off the mizbeach, even before chatzos, and you only put it up after chatzos, not subject to me'ila. And again, supporting Rav Yosef's argument that chatzos is significant, but the limb doesn't have to actually be on the mizbech proper at chatzos. So the Gemara says, so basically we have a preponderance of position that supports Rav Yosef, that this idea that if it's on the top of the mizbech before chatzos, even if it flies off right before chatzos, it's still considered mi'ukal, it's still considered consumed, and this idea is supported again and again. Rav Yosef says it, Amoraim say it, we have a Brisa that supports it as well. So in Eretz Yisrael they say it as well. So now let's revisit our Machlok between Rabba and Rav Chista. Because it's really now hard to entertain that Rabba and Rav Chista are having a debate where the strong majority of positions are in support of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, great, so let's revisit. Rabba and Rav Chista ben Mai Pligi. So the Gemara says, so Rabba and Rav Chista are certainly having an argument. We're not going to change on that, but what we are going to change on, however, is the parameters of their debate. Amar lei b'shmeinim. So the Gemara says, fine, they are having a debate, but their debate, if we can modify their debate just a little bit, so that it doesn't go against Rav Yosef's position, they're debating where the limb flies off, but the limb is not bone dry. The limb, in fact, is still moist. The Gemara describes it as shamein, it's fatty. In other words, there's still fat on the piece of meat. So now that means to say that it was on the mizbech, it flew off before chatzos, and not only that, but on top of that, it wasn't bone dry. It wasn't yet reduced to halachic charcoal. So at that point in time now, if it goes back up on the top of the mizbech, is there going to be another significant moment? So according to Rav Chista's answer is yes, dawn. According to Rabba, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow night, meaning the only significant time for ikul is midnight. You missed midnight tonight, so you got to get midnight tomorrow night. Okay, so the Gemara says, so we've modified now our understanding of the machlokes between Rabba and Rav Chista. Continuing. Bai minei Rava mei Rava. Gemara now has the following dialogue between the Amoraim. Lina mo'eles b'roshel shem mizbech, o eina mo'eles b'roshel shem mizbech. Since the beginning of this parak, we've talked about this idea that the mizbech is mekadesh. I take things that are pasul, and again, not every psul, but a lot of them. I take something which is pasul, I put it on the top of the mizbech, mizbech and mekadesh. Mizbech is now an environment in which it could just basically take things which shouldn't have gone up there, but once on top of it, so don't take it down. The Gemara now is basically taking this idea, but now basically ratcheting it up one level. Wonders the Gemara, can we now say that on the top of the mizbeach, it's basically impervious to time? Meaning time is no longer, I know I'm explaining this like a little more, you know, metaphysical, if you will, but time is no longer a consideration on the top of the mizbeach. If the karbon was not born on the top of the mizbeach and just sitting there on the azara floor, so as we already learned earlier this morning, so by dawn, it is now rendered disqualified. It is now subject to lina. What if it's sitting on the top of the mizbeach?
But not burnt.
Do we now say that as long as it's been on the top of the mizbeach, so in addition, meaning the beginning of the parak was talking about the mizbeach being a protective environment. In addition to the top of the mizbeach being a protective environment, can we also now say that the top of the mizbeach also now doesn't even have a time consideration? So that means to say now that the limbs on the top of the mizbech are not rendered disqualified through lina, which means then that as long as they're up there, as long as we keep them up there, so we can continuously have an opportunity to burn them, and they are not disqualified. This is now our, if you will, second stage of the question of how to view the top of the mizbech. No, I understood. But in other words, as Ben pointed out, we're talking about where the limbs themselves have not yet been burned. For whatever reason, in other words, there's a pyre on the top of the mizbech, but it's not the entire top of the mizbech. It's just simply a section of it. And the limb was brought up to the top of the mizbech, but it wasn't put on the pyre. It was put off to the side, and it wasn't burned. So now morning time comes. Now, if this was on the floor of the Azara, so now it experienced lina, it's disqualified, it's got to be discarded.
Right.
Correct. So in other words, but it's now on the mizbech proper, just simply hasn't been burned yet? And do we say that the top of the Mizbeach now is impervious to any kind of time disqualification? So, the Gemara says, well, let's flesh out this question. So, ilim adalo yardu. So the Gemara says, if we're telling me that it didn't come down again, hashta lanu be'azara amar delo yardu, barosh hashem izbeach mibaye. So the Gemara says, well, if in fact it did not come down again, so the Gemara says, let's consider. For those pieces that did fall off, meaning as Rashi points out over here, the minam is beach la'achra amud ha'shachar mibaye lach mihave kishar lanim v'nifselam ba'amud ha'shachar v'tnan b'psulim. Kach im yardu lo yalu. So the Gemara says, look, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, meaning even for those that are disqualified, if brought onto the top of the Mizbech, it gets to stay there. So over here, it didn't even fall off the top of the Mizbech, meaning it's been on the top of the Mizbech. So what the Gemara now is entertaining is the following. Look, even disqualified pieces on the top of the Mizbech are not going to be taken down. So over here, whether it's disqualified or not, if it's sitting on the top of the Mizbech, of course I'm not going to take it down. So the Gemara says, Ela Diardu. Ela Diardu. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you're right. So the question now under consideration is as follows. It was on the top of the Mizbech overnight. It didn't get burnt. Dawn already came. Now it's the morning. It still didn't get burnt. So again, as it's on the top of the Mizbech, so you don't have to take it down. Because even if it's disqualified, I'm not going to take it down. But let's just now advance the question. Now, in the morning, somebody brought it down again. So now, can I make the argument that, well, at dawn it was on the top of the Mizbeach, and again, the top of the Mizbeach could be totally impervious to time. Time is not a consideration on the top of the Mizbeach, therefore it's not disqualified. The Gemara says, L'shuchan midaminala. So maybe over here, the comparison of the Mizbeach could be made to the comparison of the Shulchan. Every week, 12 loaves of bread are baked, placed on the Shulchan, sits on the Shulchan throughout the entire week. In other words, placed on Shabbos. Next Shabbos, we do the same thing again. 12 new loaves are baked. By the way, the bread is baked before Shabbos. 12 new loaves are baked, placed onto the Shulchan. Last week's bread is taken off, and we just go through the cycle again and again. Who eats the lechem upon him? The Kohanim. It's divided. Six go to the Mishmar that worked this past week. Six are going to go to the upcoming week. Although, if you remember, that's the machlokus. In other words, some are of the opinion it's 7 and 5. But whatever, it's a zero-sum game. And the next week, right? They're each okay. Anyway, they're going to get 12 loaves, one way or the other. So anyway, the halacha goes like this: in terms of the consumption of the lechem upon him by the kohanim, so it can only be consumed when the shnei bazichin, the two spoonfuls of lavona, which is sitting on the top of the two columns of the 12 loaves of the lechem upon him, are burnt on the Mizbeach. The burning of the Lavona is the matir to consume the lechem upon him. After the spoonfuls of the Lavona are burnt, then the Kohanim get to consume it. We also have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that in order to burn the Lavona, it has to be sitting there for a full week. If it's not sitting there for a full week, I can't burn it, and therefore I can't eat the lechem upon him. The Mishnah and Menachos, which we're about to learn together, teaches us that if for whatever reason the bread and the Lavona were set up on a Monday or on a Tuesday, so that means that by Shabbos rolls around, they have not been sitting up there for a week. So what do? We don't burn the Lavona. We don't eat. We don't consume the lechem upon him. We have it sit there for a full second week. And then the next Shabbos, Kohanim going to take it off and eat it. Good. And yes, it's been there for 2 weeks, but that's not right. That's, you know, Far from the point. And why don't we say that, well, you know, night after night, in other words, for a whole second week, the lechem upon him are sitting out there, aren't they experiencing lina? And the answer, of course, is no. Why? Because they're situated on the Shulchan. And the Shulchan is affording a protection in which it now becomes impervious to lina. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, maybe the Mizbeach is the same thing. So let's see everything I just said. Let's see this inside. L'shulchan midamin ala ditnan. Here's the Mishnah Menachos. Afilu hein ala shulchan yamim rabim. Even if they're sitting on the shulchan for many days, ein bekach klum. No big deal. It's fine. And maybe The Mizbech operates in the same exact fashion as the Shulchan would. Now, on one hand, I understand the comparison, and on the other hand, I don't. When I say I don't mean me, I mean through the eyes of Rashi. Rashi explains that, look, on one hand, the Mizbech, you can look at just like the same way you Shulchan, meaning it's one of the instruments of the Beis HaMikdash. The Shulchan is a table, simple table, in which I'm putting the Lechem upon him on. It's a Kli Shareis. So the Mizbech is the same. On the other hand, says Rashi, no, they're not the same. Because the Mizbech, what is really the Mizbech? It's elevated ground. It's just the ground, just mounded up. Rashi writes, Odilma lakarka azara midaminla, the haritzbas binyanhi, kemosa, velo kli sharis kashochan. The shulchan itself is like a kli sharis, therefore giving this kind of protection to the bread that's on top of it. But the mizbech, on the other hand, may not be viewed as a kli sharis per se, but just simply raised ground.
The mizbech is in a less holy place than the shulchan.
That's accurate. I agree. But in other words, in terms of affording protection, so the Gemara says, on one hand, I could see it as being compared to the shulchan. Odilma, back to the Gemara, Odilma lakarka midaminan, or maybe no, maybe it's just simply karka, which does not afford that protection. Amar lei ein lina barosha shel mizbech. So, as much as the question was asked, and there are two sides to look at it, the answer was clear cut. There is no lina on the top of the mizbeach, meaning that is just simply no time consideration while the carbon is sitting there on the top. So, kipla mine olam. So the Gemara says, okay, so, question was asked from Rava to Rabba. Rabba gives a really clear and decisive answer on the issue. And the Gemara's question now wonders is, did he accept the answer or did he not? So Tashma did my Ivam Shalana Bazar Mikat Vaholech Kol HaLaila. If I have limbs that are just sitting around in the Azara, so I have all night to burn them, like we've discussed time and again. In other words, for the limbs, you have the entirety of the night to burn the limbs on the Mizbech. Lan Barosh Hashem Mizbech Mikat Vaholech Lolam. And now if they're sitting on the top of the Mizbech, so you can burn them indefinitely, meaning there simply is no lean on the top of the Mizbech. Yardu, but if they come down, Rabba Amar Yalu. So Rabba says, bring it back up again. Rabba Amar Lo Yalu. And Rabba says, no, don't bring it back up again. Because despite the fact that it was sitting on the top of the Mizbech, and while on the top of the Mizbech, it can remain there, but once it comes down again, now the night is over. It's now the next morning. And so Rava says it experienced lina. Aye, but it was on the top of the Mizbeach. Rava clearly has not accepted the answer of Rabba. Rabba himself is clearly of the position that when it's on the top of the Mizbeach, time is no longer consideration. It doesn't get disqualified through lina. Rava clearly just simply dismisses it. He disagrees. Shmamina, lo kibla mine shmamina. So the Gemara says that Rava clearly did not accept Rabba's answer. And so what we have over here, really interesting machlokes between Rabba and Rava in terms of whether or not there is this kind of time structure on the top of the Mizbeach. Rabba says, no, there's no time structure. Meaning once it's on the top of the Mizbeach, so it goes the night, it goes the next morning, it experiences dawn, it is not rendered disqualified through lina. Rabba says, because there is simply no lina on the top of the Mizbeach. Mashenkin, Rabba's of the opinion, no. That, in other words, just like there's a lina disqualification if it sits on the Azara, there's also one on the top of the Mizbech. The only difference being is that on the top of the Mizbech can hang on to disqualified karbanos. So while on the top of the Mizbech, it could stay there, but if it were to come down for whatever reason, so then you can't put it back up again.
How long can it stay up there? How long can it stay up there?
How long can it stay up there?
Like 48 hours, 72 hours.
According to who? According to Rabba, indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right.
In the case, doesn't that mean that Rava also holds that ain't lina al mizbeach? Because it can stay there forever.
Right, right.
We just said Rava, not Rava.
Wait, so I'm sorry. So Aleph or Hay?
Aleph.
So Rava Aleph, so he says that there is lina even on the top of the mizbeach. But again, as long as it's there on the top, so that's, in other words, it could stay there. Mizbeach can be kolay. But once it comes down, so that's it. And then you can't put it back up again.
It's comparable to the shulchan.
So it's not, according to Rava with an aleph, it's not comparable to the shulchan.
Yeah, if it's a sitting on the shulchan for such, you know,
no, but in other words, but
if it
it's
takes off the shulchan, then it's a problem. But as long as it's on the shulchan,
yeah, but in other words,
until like the next week,
it's a little bit different. In other words, by the shulchan, yeah. So in other words, it didn't experience lina, and in other words, it simply wasn't disqualified. Rav is arguing that on the Mizbeach, it did experience lina, it is disqualified. It's just that while on the Mizbech, it could stay there because the Mizbech can handle that. But in other words,
the real comparison would be if like the lechem panim fell off the.
Correct. It fell off the Shulchan, so I could put it back on the Shulchan. So again, so what the Gemara is arguing is that the Gemara said that by the Shulchan, there was like literally, the Gemara said it's very clear cut. The Shulchan is providing this protective force where it becomes impervious to Lina. There's no Lina while it's on the Shulchan.
So how do you explain to the Mizbeach Lina? It came down, it didn't come. It just stayed there. Just didn't.
Meaning even if it experienced, I'll say it one more time and we'll discuss after. Yeah. Even if it experienced Lina on the top of the Mizbeach, which is Rava's argument. Rava, by the way, I know this is a little bit confusing. Rabba, the way it's my Masorah. Rabba, when pronounced is with a hay at the end, I say bays. And when it's Rava, I say with a vav. Okay, anyway. You know, pronounced like a vav. But just one second. So, but if, according to Rava, if it's on the top of the Mizbech and the Dorn has already come and it hasn't been burnt, so Rava will argue it has experienced Lina. It experienced Lina. Now, by virtue of that, if it were to come down, you don't put it back up again. Because experience Lina. But while it's up there, it could stay there because the Mizbech is able to, you know, the Mizbech can shelter. The Mizbech can shelter, even disqualify Karbanos.
If, however, they were placed on the Shulchan on the Sabbath, they do become invalidated if they are left there beyond the prescribed 7-day period.
If they left, invalidated.
If they were actually put on the Sabbath at the right time, and then it was left
after the Sabbath,
it is invalidated.
Okay.
All right.
In other words, if it didn't experience the full, you're saying if it experienced the full week, and then afterwards, okay, fine. Okay, maybe. Kishem she mizbech mekadesh on a rabbanon. We are now up to the ramp. We're discussing the ramp. Anogebe mizbech en liyale mizbech kevesh minayin. How do I know that just like the mizbech affords protection for anything that's on top of it? Same thing is true regarding the ramp. So the Torah says, Tan Rabban, Anogebe mizbech en liyale. I'm sorry, I read this already. Anogebe mizbech en liyale mizbech kevesh minayin. What about the ramp? Tamalamer es hamizbech. So we have the word es. Es is always a riboy. Always includes kabed es avicha vesimecha. You got to honor your mother and your father, but it doesn't say just avicha v'yemecha, it says es avicha v'esimecha. So there's a number of people to include over there. See the Gemara in Kedushin for who gets included. The Gemara over there has it as an inclusion towards your oldest brother, has an inclusion towards step parents. Okay, see the Gemara elsewhere for other examples of es. Over here, es amizbech, so that includes the ramp as well. The attachment to the mizbech, which is the ramp. So kli sharis minayin. What about kli sharis tamalamer kol negeh behem yigdash? So the same thing is true regarding kli sharis as well. Baminei reish lakish merav yochanan kli sharis maushi kachua sapsulin. So can a kli sharis sanctify? Can it consecrate psulim? What does that mean? So at this juncture, what the Gemara thinks is as follows. I'm following Rashi. And not only am I following Rashi, I'm going to read Rashi. Maushi yigdash psulim hu sever leinyan pidyon kami baile. Right now, we think the question goes like this. Maybe we're asking in terms of redemption. Kigon mincha tamei shekacha b'kli sharis. Let's say I have a mincha that is that's rendered tamei and placed into a kli sharis. Mi kacha kedusha seguf v'lo nafkalu l'chulin dekacha kli afa bishi tamei. So on one hand, do we say now that by being placed into a kli sharis, the kli sharis now invested with kedusha seguf? We all know once a carbon is invested with kedusha seguf, the Kedusha is non-transferable. You cannot move it over to some other object. And even though, despite the fact that the Mincha happens to be Tameya, but once that goes into a Kli Sharis, it's invested with Kedusha Zaguf, and therefore non-transferable. Oh, low Kedusha. Or maybe no. By virtue of the fact that the Mincha under discussion is Tameya, so therefore when put into a Kli Sharis, the Kli Sharis is not invested with the Kedusha Zaguf. V'tzanan ha-menachos v'nasachem she-nitmu yesh lam pejon, v'im ha-shikash b'kli nitmu ein lam pejon. Now, here's what we know for sure. We know for sure that if it becomes disqualified only after being put into the Kli Sharis, so then for sure the mincha is invested with kedusha saguf, and for sure it is simply non-transferable. The kedusha is non-transferable. I can't be poda. I can't redeem it onto money. Here, under what's under discussion, at least right now, well, here's what we think. What's under discussion is that if the Tamei Mincha was placed into a Kli Sharis, maybe now the Kli Sharis is going to invest it with Kedushas Aguf. To which the Gemara says that's not even a question. Kli Sharis Ma'ashikasha Psulim Amalei Tenisu Keshem Shemizbech VeKevish Mekachin Esarai Lahem Kach Kel Mekachin. So the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. The Mizbeach is Mekadesh, even those things which are disqualified. So the Gemara says, Kli Sharis, same thing. It's Mekadesh, that which even those things which are disqualified. Amar Lei Lechatchila Likariv Kamibaye Lei. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood. I wasn't asking that question. I know. I know that once placed into a Kli Sharis, even when disqualified, it invested with Kedusha Seguf. I get that. What I'm asking is as follows, is that if it goes up onto the Mizbech, it stays up onto the Mizbech. Lichat chila, can we put it up onto the Mizbech? Lichat chila karvka mibaylei hanamitanin. The Gemara says that too, we also have resolved. We've answered. Shekiblu psulim v'zarku es damo. So, let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's look at some of the cases that were discussed in the Mishnah, specifically the last couple of cases that were described in the Mishnah of various disqualifications which can go up onto the Mizbech and remain on the Mizbech. The Mishnah described a scenario where a non-Kohen did Kabbalas Adam, which is already a psul, and then the same non-Kohen sprinkled the blood on the Mizbech, which only furthers the psul. Right now, as Rashi points out, here's what we think. We think the Mishnah is describing a case in which this non-Kohen did both of these activities. See the top Rashi. Shekibu psulim v'hadu zarku psulim v'lamali zarku mikabala ifsalalei. So now, you're wondering, says Rashi, that if the non-Kohen already collected the blood, it becomes disqualified. Why is the Mishnah giving us the secondary step of, and he also sprinkled it? So, ilav lashmin in time of the zarku psulim, who dahavu evarim b'taras im ala lo yardu. So the Gemara says, it must be because under those circumstances, lichatchila should not be offered. Harzaku ksherim, lichatchila nam yalu. But seemingly, again, this is what we're thinking how to read the Mishnah, is that if in the event that a non-Kohen accepted the blood, but then the bowl is given over to a Kohen and the Kohen did the Zrika, so perhaps yalu ha'ivarim de Zrika ma'al yahu. Since the Zrika was done correctly by a proper Kohen, so then maybe it should go up onto the Mizbech even lechatchila. The Alpha gav de kibul psulim, mishum dikache klisharis lizark lechatchila. Because once the blood was put into a klisharis, the klisharis is able to invest it with kedusha, so that from an a priori position, lechatchila, now a Kohen can take the limbs and put it up onto the top of the Mizbech. That is what the Gemara is entertaining. Now, admittedly, it's a difficult read in our Mishnah, and it's reading a lot into the Mishnah, but at least right now, that's what the Gemara is entertaining. Shekibu psulim v'zarko zama. My love, shekibu psulim v'zarko psulim. So the Gemara says, lo, shekibu psulim inam v'zarko psulim. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about either or. Either a non-Kohen accepted the blood, disqualification, or a non-Kohen sprinkled the blood. But in other words, as long as a non-Kohen received the blood, even though the blood went into a Kli Sharis, that does not mean that the Kli Sharis is going to transform it into something which is kosher. In other words, lichatchila, it should not be offered on the Mizbech, period. Okay. Avram Mizbech, Mizbech Dami. Here's the last question for this morning, and that is as follows. We know the Mizbech is Mekadesh. That's been the theme throughout the entire parak. Last question of the Gemara is, what about the airspace over the Mizbech? Now, the Mizbech is a really simple edifice. It's a block. I mean, a couple of blocks, one on top of the other. But in other words, when you get to the top of the Mizbech, there are no walls surrounding you. Granted, there's the Kronos, there's the horns of the Mizbech surrounding, but there are no walls. And there, in other words, it's just simply from that point going upwards, it's just airspace. What do we say about the airspace above the Mizbech? Is it have the same koach, the same power, as the actual top of the Mizbech itself? For the Mizbech to provide protection for the karbonos that are on top of it, do the karbonos have to have physical contact with the top of the Mizbech? Or do we say that no, that as long as you are above the Mizbech, in a vertical plane above the Mizbech, so that too is also going to be affording the protection? In many other areas of halacha, we have these kinds of discussions. But again, each area is separate. Rishus Yachid Ola L'Rakia. We know on Shabbos. I'm just giving another example. On Shabbos, so the Rishus HaRabim has a ceiling, halachic ceiling. Meaning a Rishus Rabbim only goes up 10 tefachim, not above 10 tefachim. But a Rishus Yachid is Ola L'Rakia, goes up indefinitely. Fine. So on Shabbos we have this idea. But over here we're talking about as the Mizbech is providing protection. Do we say that it is not just the physical top of the Mizbech, but even the airspace above it?
What situation would be like that? That you would be
Rashi over here writes that it's just suspended over the top of the Mizbech.
What situation would come to be like this, that you suspend a korban over Mizbeach?
Well, right. Right now, we're just dealing with it from an abstract standpoint, from a conceptual standpoint. So, Toshma, Kishem Shem Mizbeach, Mekadesh, Kach, Kevesh, Mekadesh. The Gemara says, well, I think I can bring a good proof from the following. Remember how we said just a moment ago that not only is the Mizbeach, but the ramp as well. Iyamar Avir Mizbeach, Lav, Ki Mizbeach, Dami, Avir, Kevesh, Nami, Lav, Ki Kevesh, Dami. So, the Gemara says, look, right now, whatever is true regarding the airspace of the Mizbeach, we're going to agree is going to be true of the airspace regarding the ramp. Okay, we're all going to agree. Okay, good. Concluded. So now the Gemara says, so Heichi Masik Le Mekevesh Le Mizbeach, so Havala Yarud. So the Gemara says, great. So now that we all agree that if the airspace of the Mizbeach is nothing, and the airspace of the ramp is nothing, how am I going to get my disqualified carbon from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach? Because as we know, there's no physical connection between the ramp and the actual Mizbeach itself. It's separated by a thin airspace. And so that means to say now that to get it there, even if I rolled it up the ramp, I'm going to have to now, it's going to have to clear some air to get from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach.
There was an overlap.
There is...
Where the gap ends is the Mizbeach.
Like two neurons, one right next to another. The Gemara is assuming right now that there is some sort of gap between them.
But the description is not like that, though.
But there's air.
There's always Mizbeach underneath.
Here's what I know for sure. Our Gemara is right now assuming that there's a gap. I know that. So in other words, yes, I understand that we've had other pictorials of what it looks like, but I know right now the Gemara is assuming that. So the Gemara says, so as long as we're assuming that, so now it's got to make the jump. it's got to make the jump from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. And if that's true, and the airspace is considered halachically zero, so that means to say then that it has now gone off the Mizbeach. So, the Gemara says, so how do you get from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach? Now, it's funny. If you would have asked me, I would have said, I could have offered as a solution, so don't bring it up to the top of the Mizbeach. You want to burn it? So create a little pyre on the ramp itself. Gemara does not suggest that. The Gemara says, so denagile. The Gemara says, okay, well, you're rolling it up. The Gemara says, okay, you're rolling it up. That's very good. V'ha'avi yesh ben kefesh mizbeach. So the Gemara says, but there's still a gap. So the Gemara says, rubo lekevesh kekevesh, rubo lemizbeach imizbeach. So again, the Gemara does not give me a good enough description where I can tell you how wide this gap is. I don't know. But here's what the Gemara is saying, is that as I'm rolling it now from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, it's going to be either the majority of it on the ramp or the majority on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara is now saying or arguing that whatever its majority is, that's where it's at. The majority of it's on the ramp, it's on the ramp. And the majority is on the Mizbeach, it's on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara is not entertaining that there's ever going to be a point in time where it's not going to have a majority. So this gap, again, I can't tell you from a linear standpoint how wide it is, but it can't be that wide. Because the Gemara right now is assuming that the majority of it is going to be on one. So Tifsha Meha Dabai Rami Barchama Yeshchibur La'olin Olo. So Tifsha Yeshchibur. So the Gemara says, okay, a point of discussion that comes up elsewhere is whether or not there's something considered, something called Chibur. Is there a connection between one part of a carbon and another part? Meaning, do we view a limb as one uniform entity, or do we view it as compositely, just little particles connected one to another? So the Gemara says, it sounds like from our discussion, chibur, that as long as it's a full limb, we view it as one entity. So halokasha tifsho, the Gemara says, okay, so what's the problem? We're going to conclude? So the Gemara says, great, what's wrong with making a conclusion? You're right. So the way they look at a limb as organically as one unit.
Well, that should mean, don't we have this concept of love and so close, and it's as if they're together. Right?
Correct. So that's mechitza. Those are mechitza halachas. No, I'm being serious. In other words, by mechitza halachas, so we have halach la Moshe Messina in terms of how walls are formed. And so there is room, legal room to negotiate. In other words, even though there's an airspace, but legally we're allowed to view it as a combined area. That's mechitza. Those are halachas of mechitza. Over here, right, correct. Over here, we're just talking about now a gap that is now between the kevish and the mizbeach. And if we are ignoring airspace, so then how is it making the jump from one to the other? And the Gemara says rolling, and the Gemara says, and we're assuming now that the majority is always going to be on one, and we're assuming now that the limb is considered like one singular entity, and the Gemara says fine. In other words, then, and again, you know the style of the Gemara, this is like just such a wonderful example, where stylistically what the Gemara is saying is, look, the easiest way to say it is just simply, you pick it up, you move it from the ramp over to the Mizbeach, and the airspace is considered part and parcel of the ramp, part and parcel of the Mizbeach. That's the easiest way to say it. But right now, the Gemara is just deflecting because we can deflect. Meaning, a proof is only going to be a proof if it's absolute. Since there is another way to see it and to say it, so the Gemara says, so we don't have an absolute proof. Okay. Right, so we're not there yet, we're going to get there. So we'll stop here tomorrow, we'll pick it up from this point in time. The Gemara is going to continue the discussion of Avir HaMizbeach, the airspace of the Mizbeach. The sugya is over on the top of tomorrow's daf. We'll continue tomorrow.